Are you hungering to have a relationship with the living God? Many good things here for us this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's ask that the Spirit comes and makes my notes more than they are. We would get a taste for the glory of God as we dwell with Him. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our God, and we ask now that you would enlighten us as to what it would mean for us to be ever closer to you, and how we can have that relationship with you, and how it can lead to joy and love and truth, and the good things that you promise. And just pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so will you consider for a moment things that come naturally? Things that come naturally, okay? So I've been playing guitar since I was about 16. And something that has happened a number of times is I'll be sitting around with other guitarists or, you know, other musicians. And we'll be playing music and then we'll think, hey, you know, let's play something else. Something that we don't have the chords on hand or the music on hand in any capacity, and I didn't look at the YouTube tutorial ahead of time to see how to play this. They just kind of toss it out. Hey, let's play this. And I'm like, yeah, let's play it. And then I just kind of guess it all. I just kind of play the whole thing out right on the spot as if I just magically know how to play it. So that's what I do on occasion. This has happened a number of occasions. I'll just think about the song, I guess, sort of, but not really. And I'll just kind of go for it, and my fingers do some sort of magical thing, and I end up playing this tune. Now, I'm not the only one who does this, by the way. Actually, everybody remember John Kerr? Ron, we were up at, this is a tremendous, amazing musician, but we were at our weekend away a number of years back, and John Kerr was like, hey, do you want me to play piano? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. And so he's like, oh, so what songs are we playing? These are the songs. Okay, great. You know, just he would just sit back there, you know, a few minutes before, and he would crank out the songs on the cue in whatever key I played flawlessly. We didn't practice one bit. Oh, goodness. Anyway, so he was just able to do that. And eventually, you know, my friends might say to me, hey, how did you learn to just be able to just play that off of the cue like that without any notes or anything? And I would look over at them and I'd say, I didn't. I didn't learn that at all. This is the truth of the matter. It was just always the case with me. The very first time I picked up the guitar, I already had this thing in my DNA that just helped me know how to do something. It's like I was pre-programmed to just know what to do. It was instinctive. It was from the very beginning. And this really became clear a few weeks back because my son had a piano lesson, his very first piano lesson. They sit down with him and they're like, okay, what's a song that you would like to play? And he's like, I'd like to play this one. And they would show him once the song and he'd be like, boom. And he never played the piano. He knew what he was doing. He just knew. It was instinctive. He had no practice whatsoever. It just comes naturally. Now, what does the Bible say? So we're in this series, Life in the Spirit. And last week we saw that the Holy Spirit, the entire identity of the Holy Spirit is centered around Jesus and the message of the gospel and making that message known. The Holy Spirit will never reveal anything at all that isn't absolutely 100% Jesus. In fact, Jesus has a one-to-one correspondence with the Spirit where Jesus says this, and then the Spirit tells us exactly what Jesus said. He's an absolute conduit for everything that Jesus is, and he's on mission to make Jesus known. He's on mission. And in our lives, he is the one that helps us to stay on mission and to fulfill the purpose of our lives. The purpose of your lives is to know Jesus and to make him known. That is the purpose of your life. You're saying, oh, I have a different purpose. Well, you might, but that would be a secondary purpose. The purpose of your life, to know Jesus and to make him known. And so that's what the Spirit comes to do. But now we're turning to this idea of being filled with the Spirit, and that terminology is just loaded. There's all sorts of things you've heard about that, being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit. These are scary terms sometimes for some of us. And for other people, we have all sorts of experiences that we put on this, right? That's what it means. That's what it means. But what does it actually be? It's really not as complex as you think it is. That's the punchline, actually, is that this is going to be something that comes naturally for you. Why? Because if you put your trust in Christ, he has given you a new spirit. He's changed your DNA, and you have a conduit now for having a relationship with God, and he comes to dwell with you. And so it isn't something really weird and something that is impossible or something that's really strange. It's actually the next step in your walk of faith. It's a deepening of what has already begun. To be filled with the Spirit is the next step of faith that we can take every single day, actually. Here's our big idea. Being filled with the Spirit comes through freshly submitting to Jesus. This is going to be our punchline for today. Being filled with the Spirit comes through freshly submitting to Jesus. Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? You're going to know exactly how to go about it by the end of this lesson. Being filled with the Holy Spirit comes through fresh surrendering to Jesus. So shall we start with, and this is kind of an important part, every believer already has the Spirit permanently. Every believer already has the Spirit permanently. We're going to see why this is really important. Now, I have an important caveat to make. The things that we're about to talk about, people disagree with quite a bit. Okay, they have big arguments over what is in what we're about to look at. And people would say to me, no, you're wrong about what I'm going to say. But we're going to go to the Bible and we'll just pull things out. And if you think that I'm wrong at the end, you could tell me how the Bible doesn't say what I'm about to say. Okay, so we're going to turn to Ephesians 1 and we're going to start in verse 13. We already heard a bit of this. So it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth and the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. If you were to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you would find a very similar statement there. We won't look at it, but this is a theme actually in Paul's work. And I'm just going to point out this. There's this chain of events that happen, and here's how the chain occurs. You hear the gospel message. Perhaps you go to church. The preacher gets up. He talks about Jesus having died for your sins and how you can repent of your mistakes and you can come back into a relationship, and something in your heart says, yes. And you surrender. And then at that very moment, according to this, something really profound happens. God sends his Spirit to take away all those sins, to wash you clean, to make you new. And there's a technical word for what is happening. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? What is happening is Christ is coming to wash you clean, to make it all new. And he sets his seal on you. Actually, we have three things here, don't we? We have a seal and a promise and a deposit. He's giving proof that you have just gone from death into life forever. And the proof is now somebody is dwelling with you. Now somebody is dwelling with you who will never, ever go away. And it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is your biggest proof that you're going to heaven now. Okay, so let's talk about these. We have he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's kind of weird. I mean, who's been sealed lately? I don't know what that... It's the word stamp. He put his stamp on you. He stamped you with his name, mine. And the stamp is the Holy Spirit. Now, in America, I feel so weird. Like, you guys are going to think of me as a Texan or something. In America, there's cows. Okay? They have these pastures of cows. And what happens is that there's some places where they don't have fences and they just kind of graze out on hundreds and hundreds of miles of land out in the great world of Texas, as it were. And so you have this issue because you have all these different people who have all these different cows, and you can't take my cow, right? That's my cow. And so what they would do is they would take out a hot iron and they would sear their logo on the cow, okay? They would brand the name of the company that owns them on the cow. Okay, I'm not likening to you to cows, I promise. But that's exactly what Christ does with us, right? You're mine now. And he puts on us something deeper than a tattoo. And he puts on us something far more permanent than simply something that you can put on your skin and then you can go and get it laser removed later on. He puts his Holy Spirit into our lives. And that's his way of saying, I'm not going to leave. That's what's important here. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to abandon you ever. Because what? Because the Spirit is with you. I'm not going to, is God going to unstamp us? No. No. There's no take backs from this. I've given you my Spirit. Okay, and this is called the promised Spirit here, the promised Spirit. And the Spirit of God is his way of keeping his promise with us. He's made a promise. And this is actually crazy. When you get older, right now you might think that there's reasons that God might let you into heaven. But as you get older, you're going to realize that the only reason that you're going to go to heaven and not down is based on this promise from God. Well, man, how do I know that God's going to actually do this? God's like, because I promised and I gave you the Spirit. That's how. The Spirit dwells with you. I won't leave you. I double down, no finger cross, pinky swear forever. I'm going to take you to heaven, and the Spirit is the proof. I will receive you. Another term here, deposit. The Holy Spirit is our deposit. Has anyone bought a house in here? Did you make a deposit? Was there any chance that you were going to get that back? No, right? I mean, this is how it works. You're saying, I'm going to pay the full amount, and you know, I'm not going to get this back. That I'm making good on this. That God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. Look, all of this is for our assurance. This is for our assurance that we would know that we truly belong to Jesus. Galatians 4:6, and then we could just turn there really quick. Another passage that speaks about this, just a page back. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. Okay, so we have this testimony. The Spirit is sent. Where does the Spirit go here? Where does it say he goes? Into our hearts. So he's testifying to our heart. He's saying, you're not alone. You're not away anymore. That's one of the things that I remember very clearly when I became a Christian. I was an atheist, decided to give God a try, and I'd struggled with crippling loneliness my whole life. And I would say, I have no friends. And it was true, actually. I know you guys think you don't have friends. I had no friends. I really did. And then suddenly I met the Lord, and I just was this weird thing happened. I realized one day, hey, I'm not alone. Someone's with me now. And so we have this assurance that the Spirit has come and that the Spirit will never leave. Never, ever, ever leave. Well, now, there are a number of Bible teachers. There are a number of people who claim to know God's Word, and they come along and they tell you, oh, no, that's wrong. Oh, no, 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 you better be careful. You can lose the Spirit. You better stay in lots of things. You better do all sorts of stuff. You know, you better... This is dangerous. This is dangerous, and you could lose your salvation. You could lose all sorts of things. You could become demon possessed. Perhaps you've heard that from some quote spiritual teacher, and come along and tell you you need more. You need more. You need more. The Spirit will leave you. Okay, and that would be like that's basically a false religion because it's based on you. It's not based on God's promise. You have to do things in order to keep the Spirit around, otherwise he'll just go. Someone who says that Christians can become demon-possessed, for instance. Have you heard this? I think you probably heard this from someone. Does God do like a buy-to-share thing, you know? He's like, well, I'll half go in with Satan on this one. He's not going to share you with anybody. If you belong to him, you're his. There's a Bible verse. It says, the evil one cannot touch them. I give them to my Father. They have everlasting life. No one is able to take them out of the Father's hand. By the way, no one includes you. You can't just jump out. And the evil one cannot touch them. So this is assurance. It's assurance for you. And it brings great assurance for you, doesn't it? Because what happens is we feel quite a bit when we come to the Lord at first. And then our emotions kind of go down over time, don't they? And then people show up to my office and they say, oh, I just don't feel the way I used to feel about following the Lord. Have I lost my salvation? Am I going down? I mean, has the Spirit abandoned me? And from this passage, what could you say to them? What's the answer? The Spirit has not left you. The Spirit will not leave you. Maybe your feelings need to be rearranged. Maybe you need to rekindle your desire for the Lord, but the Spirit will never, ever, ever leave you. Is this a good word? Do you feel comfort in this? You should. This is the promise of Scripture. Now, one more thing. We have to be careful, actually. So you remember a time where you could feel God's Spirit working. We don't really want to base our faith on a feeling we had. We want to base our faith and our trust in Jesus on the promise he made that then has a ripple effect of a feeling inside of us. This is important, right? We have a promise in the Bible. Here is the promise that all who confess Christ, all who surrender to him, he will take home faithfully to heaven. And you surrendered, and then there was a ripple effect. The ripple effect for me was I felt a tremendous weight lifting off my shoulders. For other people, it might be different. For other people, it might be that they spoke in tongues. There might be something else. Okay, but the Spirit comes, and there is an effect. And that effect is a testimony that God will never, ever leave you again. That his Spirit is with you from now on. Okay? And as I mentioned, this first time that we meet the Lord is called the baptism of the Spirit. That's where he comes, and he washes us. It's the promise for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes gets the Spirit. Nobody doesn't get the Spirit. Everyone who believes is baptized in the Spirit. Some of them have various manifestations of the Spirit's gifts, and others do not have those manifestations. But he comes to all believers. Are we good on that point? Are we ready for the next one? All right, we already have the Spirit. Already have what we need. So then I submit to you that being filled with the Spirit or walking with the Spirit means continuing in and freshly igniting what Christ has begun in you. It's a continuation of what you have started and what Christ has started in you. All right, and so let me give you an illustration. It's like you already have the car. There's already gas in the engine. The thing works. The choice that you have, it's completely natural. You don't have to do anything extra. You don't have to go and buy extra parts from the warehouse, and you don't have to put more oil in the... It's all ready for you. The choice is whether you're going to turn the engine and whether you're going to drive the car. And this is a choice that we have every single day. Will I live by the Spirit, which means, am I going to continue with Jesus today? Am I going to let him fill me? Or am I going to do my own thing? Okay, so let's turn now. We're going to have two verses to look at. And so the first one is going to be Ephesians 5:18. So forward, and then we'll go backwards again, which is silly, but there's a reason for it. Galatians 5, verse 18. It says this, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And then going back now to Galatians 5, which is where we're going to end our time here in this section. Galatians 5, and we're going to read verse 16. It says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh." You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, so we have actually here in the original language, and it's not necessarily clear, we have two commands. Two commands. Walk in the Spirit. That's a command. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. These are commands. And so I have something to tell you. Jesus has done this tremendous thing for you in forgiving you of your sins and giving you love and grace and setting you free. And then he says, now take what I invested and apply it. And apply it in a continual way. That's the next thing that we have here. There's these two verbs of continuation. We have walking, and we have filling up in the same way that we used to fill up with alcohol, okay? And so let's just kind of talk about that. Walking, if you decide to walk, the idea is that there's more than one step, right? So you have your first step is like, I'm saved. right? But then the continuing walking is what you're doing every day. I continue in faith in Christ. I continue to do the right things. I continue to look to the Lord. And it says, you know, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled or keep going on filling with the Holy Spirit. So I know none of us would get drunk here. But if you did, or if I did, I'm sure none of us did those things. But if we did, you would know that the way that alcohol works is that the moment that you stop drinking, the effects go away, okay? And so what happens when you're drinking is you're like, keep it coming, you know, keep this coming. I don't want this feeling to go. I need another glass. I used to work as a waiter at a restaurant, and we played this all the time. Would you like another glass? Of course you would. You don't want this to end, do you? Okay, so this idea of being filled with alcohol, right? And that just leads to kind of the worst place after it's all over, right? And you keep fighting what's coming out at the end of that. But that idea of keeping the spirit, filling yourself up continually, keep it coming, keep it coming, keep it coming. We're commanded that. So I would submit to you that it is a good thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to keep going in that. Keep going in that. Walk every single day. Be filled, be filled, be filled. And that this is something that is true of Jesus, that as he went through his life, he continued to say, I want more of you, Father. I'm submitting myself again. Fill me up, Spirit. And we're told that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and that he did things in the Spirit. And so this is what God wants for us. Now, it doesn't say, and here's how. You notice neither of these verses that talk about being full of the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, it doesn't say, and here's how you do it. And why doesn't it say that? You know why? Because it's automatic. It's automatic. It's as natural as can be. Because God has given us his own new creation DNA, and so we already have within us all of the programming to live life with God now. The Spirit is there within us, and we are to continue in what we have begun. This is kind of the punchline of the whole sermon. We are continuing in what Jesus started with us. And so if we started with surrender, the way forward is to continue surrendering. Now we talked about this last week. We talked about how the Spirit of God is completely about the mission of Jesus. Didn't we say that? The Spirit of God is completely in the mission of Jesus. And is wanting us to be in the mission of Jesus. And the Spirit of God is completely surrendered to Jesus. Every single word that Jesus says and zero words that Jesus doesn't say, every single word is passed on to us. It's a one-to-one surrender. The Holy Spirit is completely subjected to Jesus. Now, if you will be completely subjected to Jesus too, then the Spirit will say, I have a place where we can go together in the name of my God and make known the world this good message of Jesus Christ. You see what's happened? He comes alongside us and he says, yes, this is the way. I will dwell in the fullest here because you are surrendered to Jesus and I'm all about surrendering to Jesus. Are you tracking with me here? Think about rowing. Okay, who has gone rowing, by the way? In like, not just like just one, but like you got a group of people, you know? You know, you cannot do it by yourself. If you're, you know, you get this big boat, you get in it. If you ever try just you to go at it and those huge things, it's impossible. And what happens is when you want to row towards the good news of Jesus Christ and towards surrender to Jesus and towards living for the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, let's go together. Let's go. Let's do this. I am here with you. You are becoming filled with the Holy Spirit. When you say, for instance, here's an example. You wake up in the morning and you say, what do I normally do in the morning? I normally serve myself. I eat what I want. I take care of myself to get ready for work. I go where I want. And then I have to, you know, I have to do the things at work. And instead of saying that, if you will say, today I will live for Jesus. Today I will live for the kingdom of God. It's like saying to the Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and dwell fully in me. Now, there's another side to this, which is what the Spirit does. But we don't see that side. Now, you can say, well, I mean, I said I want to live for the Lord, and I don't feel any different. Well, that's okay, because it's a promise from God. It's not about your feelings. It's not about you and your feelings. It's like, you know, if you will walk after the Lord, if you will surrender to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is filling you up. That is the promise here. That is what we want, and that is what it means to walk by the Spirit, and that is what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Keep on surrendering to Christ and living for Him. Okay, being filled with the Holy Spirit comes through fresh surrendering to Jesus. Last thought, and I'm just going to fly through this, and I apologize to Lynn and everybody else who is hoping for a detailed exegesis of the fruit of the Spirit here. The last proof we are filled with the Holy Spirit is the removal of evil and the presence of Jesus' own loving heart, okay? And this is, now we're going to look at verse 17 of Galatians there, which is why we stopped in Galatians. So verse 17 now, and we're going to read quite a bit. It says this, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you're not able to do what you wished or what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." All right, so again, I have no time to dwell into all of these things, so I deeply apologize. But I want to point out to you that we have two warring sides within you, okay? That's what's being said here. There are two sides, and they both dwell inside of you. Now, if you are a believer in Christ, all the bad stuff there, the stuff that leads to death, the ones that if we are characterized by these things, we're not entering into life. That's what it says. If this is who you are, if you can look at that first list and say, that's really who I am, and that's what I live for, that doesn't go to eternal life, and that means that the Spirit of God is not with you. Because the Spirit of God is going to come along and say, I hate this stuff, okay? And there's then this battle that will occur, and it occurs in every believer as they slowly become what Jesus wants them to be, okay? They slowly move to that second list. So we have these two sides, and they are fighting each other, okay? They're fighting each other. And all I want to say about that first list is, who would ever want to be defined by that stuff? I mean, all of us have probably struggled with stuff on that list. I mean, if you haven't, let me know. That's amazing, okay? All of us have probably struggled with what's on that list, but we don't want that stuff to define us. We don't want to get to heaven and say, oh, that man, he was just selfish. That's what determines your life. You're selfish. Nobody really wants to be those in the end. On the other side, we have something beautiful that we really wish we could be, and we can be, as we surrender to Jesus. And so this is telling us that we have two sides, but for the Christian, you can avoid that list entirely. How? By surrendering to Jesus' mission, by surrendering to Jesus, by going with the Spirit into making the gospel known. And here's how it works. When you say, I will live for Christ today, you just don't have time to waste on that stuff. And it's taking you the wrong direction. Why would you go that direction? I'm just going to have to turn around and go back the other way. And so the way we avoid living out those things is by living by the Spirit. Now, we all have seen, and kids see this, right? They put the seed in the pot and they see that it develop and grow into something else. For us, that seed is faith. I will live for the Lord today, and the Spirit comes along and He takes that seed and He grows it into this beautiful thing: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. He develops us into somebody that looks like Jesus. And that is proof that Jesus really does belong to us and that the Spirit is dwelling there. That the fruit has come. He has grown it in us. Last illustration here on this. Flamingos. I wasn't going to remember the word flamingos. I don't know why I couldn't. Flamingos. They're beautiful, especially the lovely pink flamingos. Really straight. They're like beautiful color of pink. There are flamingos that are not pink. There are lots of flamingos that are not pink. You know how that happens. They don't eat the right thing. That's what happens, okay? They actually, it's their diet. They eat shrimp, and the shrimp turns the color of their skin pink. And God is saying, don't be a non-pink flamingo, guys. Don't be a non-pink flamingo. Eat the right stuff. Surrender to Christ daily. Don't go that way. Be who you are. Because Christ has changed us. We're new creations. He filled us with his Spirit. All we have to do is keep going in faith. All we have to do is keep walking, and he will come and dwell with us. And don't you want to? That's actually where we want to end this morning's talk. Being filled with the Holy Spirit comes through constant surrendering to Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Spirit comes through constant surrendering to Jesus. And so my conclusion, we want to take stock of what we've just looked at. This is the idea, choosing to walk in the Spirit or be filled with the Spirit, that is the same as living for Jesus every day, okay? That is the same as living for Jesus every day. How can I be filled with the Spirit? It just starts with, I surrender. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender. I confess my sins. I ask for you to help me to make known your love to the ends of the earth. God's Spirit will come and dwell with you. It's a promise. Is that what you want? Well, is it? Is it what you want? Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Then when you wake up tomorrow morning, you say, God, today is yours and I will live for you. Thank you for Jesus. I am not going to get my eyes off of him for 1 second. If you want to live by the Spirit, then later today you'll say, instead of just watching the football game and drinking the beer and then saying, people, serve me, you'll say, I want to serve others. You might still watch the game, by the way, but I want to serve others. I want to live for your kingdom, Lord. I want to be like Jesus who served. I'm not going to go back to just selfish living. Cleanse me, Jesus. Establish me, Jesus. I will be yours forever. And if even three of us in this room decided to do that on a normal basis from now on, you know what? It would turn this whole place upside down. Because God's Spirit would come, and his power would be in us, and people would be coming to know the Lord, and the glory of God would be in our midst. Colossians 2:6, as we end, therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue to walk in him. Walking with Christ, same as being filled with the Spirit, same as walking in the Spirit. Let's go do it. Let's pray. So God, we